This presentation was recorded at the 2017 Christian School Administration Institute held in Zurich, Ontario. For more information about the Institute, contact Philip Horst at philip.horst.79@gmail.com. That's philip.horst.79@gmail.com.
Good morning and welcome. May the Lord's name be honored today. Greet you in Jesus' name. Defining roles within the school board. The work of the school board is one that involves different people, different personalities, and different responsibilities. And so it's important that we understand how we work together and what our responsibilities are. I'd like to look at some scriptural principles before we go into any further. In Romans chapter 12, some scriptural principles. We'd like to just pull out a few of this passage that help us in our relating as a school board or whatever other committee or capacity we serve in the work of the school or the work of the church or whatever it is. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, with a prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And I know that's in the middle of the sentence, but we're going to stop there. Just a few principles that we'd like to see here. And the first one is found in verse 1, that we're called to present our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And we understand that this means our Christian life. We're called to give ourselves to the Lord. God has called us to that, and we As we surrender our lives and become, and we're Christians, we present our bodies a living sacrifice. We say, Lord, here I am. Use me however you want to use me. And so we're narrowing this down a little bit, and we're looking at a specific use that God has for us, and that is the work of the school. And if you're called to be on the board, that is part of presenting your body a living sacrifice, simply asking God a willingness to be used wherever God wants you to be used. In verse 3, we have the principle of humility, that a call to every one of us not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, but to think soberly. And as we serve in whatever capacity, and especially as we think this morning of the work of the school board, we serve in humility. We don't consider ourselves greater or our position higher than anyone else, but rather we serve in humility, not thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. In verse 4 to 8, these verses talk of members one of another and having different gifts. We're not all the same. We don't all have the same talents. We don't all have the same personalities and the same abilities. But we recognize and utilize the varying gifts that are among us. That's the third principle. We recognize and utilize the varying gifts that are among us. We have in here the thought of, as we think of differing gifts, we think about delegation. And we could go back in Exodus 18 and review how Moses was observed by his father-in-law, and his father-in-law said, "What you're doing isn't good. You have too much of a load. One man can't do it. We can't have a one-man show. We need more people involved in this work." And Moses wisely implemented the suggestion of his father-in-law to delegate responsibility. And we see that as members one of another. We all have different roles and responsibilities. It talks here of those who prophesy and those who minister and those who teach and those who exhort and those who give and those who rule. We all take our place in working together in this. In verse 9, it says, "Let love be without dissimulation." And this fourth principle is relating in a loving and open way. Dissimulation means unfeigned, without hypocrisy. And so in our relationship, as we relate together as a school board, we do so with an open relationship. Not hiding something or being distant, but rather being open and in love sharing the things that need to be shared. And there are some things sometimes that need to be shared, some hard things. And I'm thinking right now in particular, a lot of school board members have students, children that are in school at the moment. And there may be some difficult situations. There may be some touchy situations that affect school board members' children that are in the meeting. But let love be without dissimulation. Open and lovingly relating to the situations at hand. In verse 10, we have honor, preferring one another, honoring others, respecting our fellow brethren, putting others first, not promoting ourselves and thinking that we have the answers and we have the experience and we have the insight, but rather honoring others, putting others first. And then in verse 8 and also in verse 11, we see the principle of serving with diligence in what we're doing. We are called to present our bodies and we serve the Lord with diligence. He that ruleth with diligence, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And so as we consider the roles of the board, we want to keep these principles overshadowing those. And we might not talk anymore about this, but I don't want you to forget about it. These are the ultimate, this is really the ultimate in our work, in following the scriptural principles. In order for our schools to go forward, in order for our schools to have that continuity that Brother Tom was talking about, we need to base our schools and our relationships and our responsibility on scriptural principles and relate in the way that God wants us to. While the board does have different roles and different abilities, it is important that we blend our strengths and our ideas. It's also true that as boards, we benefit from input from outside our circle. Remember how Moses benefited from the input from outside his circle. Jethro came in and observed what was happening. And he said, "You should change this." And he was open to that. He hearkened unto the voice of his father-in-law. And so today, we benefit as well. That's one of the reasons why we come together in this way. We benefit from those outside of our board, outside of our church even. We benefit from those who look on and those who can help us. It's the Lord's work. We're presenting ourselves to him as a living sacrifice. And so we must keep our focus and cause in view. I'd like to look at three areas. I'd like to look at goals and roles and alloys. Number one, the goals. And we heard a little bit about this in our devotions. Why do we have our schools? What are we trying to accomplish? And that needs to be the foremost, that needs to be the vision of every school board member. What are the goals of the school? Are we most concerned with academics? Are we most concerned that we turn out students who can excel in the world and in the workplace? Or are we thinking about church building? I think the burden of the Christian school from day one was this thought of building church. And that needs to be our goal of church building. Whether we're choosing curriculum or playground equipment, we should constantly keep that goal in view. We're shaping and preparing lives for eternity. And we're helping to point that arrow in the right direction. And it matters what we introduce or allow into the classroom or on the playground. It may seem like some of these things are small and incidental, but as a board, we need to keep our goal clear that we're here to promote the cause of Christ. We're here to build the church. And the things that happen in school, the attitudes, the disrespect, all those things directly filter into the church. They're very influential, and it's important for us as boards to think about that. And so our goals we must keep clearly in view. Now, secondly, the roles. Now, boards vary from school to school. There are different numbers in school boards. There may be some that have three on the board, depending on the congregation size. There are some with five. And there may be other numbers. I think usually there is an odd number so that we don't have a stalemate, so that there's not a tie, but I think it's good to have an odd number. And in most of our congregations, the ministry is considered to be an integral part of the board. Maybe in some smaller congregations and smaller boards, the ministry may have a more involved role. So there are differences. There's a variation. What I'd like to look at this morning is based on basically a five-member school board. And this would also include, without saying, the ministry. Probably most five-member boards would expect at least one or two of the ministry to be along as well. And so I'm going to present this as a 5-member board because roles can be combined or further broken out into 7 members if necessary, whatever your needs are. And a lot of this is nothing new. I'm not presenting any new information. We're simply reviewing some of the things that we already know. The first role that I'd like to look at is, well, it's the first one. It's not necessarily I'm not prepared to say it's the most important one, because the board all works together, but the chairman is the leader. He's the moderator. He's the contact person for the school. If a parent has a problem with what's happening at school, they go to the chairman. They should go to the chairman. Or if they have some positive input, it's good if they talk to any of the board. But the chairman is the one who is the spokesperson. He's the contact. Not that he's more important than anyone else on the board, but with any organization, we need some structure. We need something in place that everyone knows who does what and the proper channels. If someone new wants to come to school, they want to send their children to our school, they contact the chairman. He's the contact for the teachers. When problems or difficulties arise, they come to him. And there may be a principal involved, and we're going to hear more about the principal's role. And that works into this. Maybe not every school has a principal. Maybe the chairman is the principal. But where there's a problem that comes up, and they come to the board, they come to the chairman, and the chairman may dispose of the matter with consultation with the principal and the teachers and maybe the vice chairman. It may be a small circle that issue is related to and disposed of. Depending on the nature of the matter, there might be further contact with the rest of the board. It might include all of the board. Or again, it might just include the vice chairman, where simply there's counsel together. We all know that it's rather clumsy to meet together every time there's a small issue that comes up that needs to be discussed. And I think there's a place for the chairman to work some of those things out with the teacher. However, we need to remember in all of this that in a very important part of the work of the school and the work of the board is communication. And there needs to be communication with everyone. It's a working together. It's part of an alloy. It's not a single element, but rather, even though we maybe work through some things alone as a chairman, we consider that we're part of the bigger picture. We're part of the board working together. For items of significance, such as discipline that's carried out, there should be, even though the board isn't directly involved with that situation, there should be a report coming back to the board on what transpired. And I think this is important because sometimes it's true that in all of this, we want to be confidential. We don't want to blow things up. We don't want to make things public. And I think it's understood that as a board, we keep confidentiality. Because where we do not, it hinders this step. where the chairman is hesitant to share what has happened because it might get out. The wrong things might leak out. And so it's important that we are confidential. But where there's items of significance, I think it's important that these things are reported back to the board so the board knows, the board has some background that if this would reoccur or something else would happen that would be connected, that there's some history, there's some background there. And so there needs to be communication. When there is an issue that's more involving, like I said before, that the chairman should not necessarily only act on his own, but he should reach out to someone else on the board and maybe getting ahead of ourselves, but the vice chairman, if there's a vice chairman, that's a good fit. That's a good way to do that, is to have two people relating together and working through that together. Remember that as a chairman, you're not the only one. You're not running the school. You're laboring together in the work. You're part of the alloy. The chairman schedules board meetings. And it's good if we have regular board meetings. I think that's a common practice for a certain day of the month. This is when we're going to have a board meeting, because that's when things happen, when they're planned. The chairman carefully plans the agenda. He needs to be in contact with the teachers and the principal before the meeting. Maybe there's a staff meeting the week before or a few days before to discuss some of the issues that are at hand. And then that's very helpful, because then these things can be brought to the board. I have sat in meetings and admired how the chairman brings up subjects at the right time in the year. You know, there's things that happen every year. And for most of us, we don't pay much attention. But the chairman keeps track of what's happening. What do we do in January? What do we do in March? What are things that we need to address? And that's part of carefully planning the agenda. Another part of board meetings, and as far as the chairman's responsibility, and maybe sometimes a difficult one, is to keep discussions on topic. You know, a little diversion is good. It's good to, some bunny trails are healthy at times, but the chairman needs to bring the meeting back on track when we've strayed from the original topic too long. And sometimes that's a challenge, and sometimes it seems a little rude, but we need to do that. At times when we're in the midst of discussing a situation, maybe the chairman needs to refocus our attention. Maybe he needs to share some thought that just brings everybody together a little bit more, sometimes when our thoughts are scattered. The chairman has a responsibility to hear the discussion, not to be the predominant one, but to hear the discussion, to be the moderator, to hear each one, and to encourage the contribution of each one. You know, some board members tend to be quiet, and we think maybe they don't have anything to say, but they do. And maybe they just need a little bit of opportunity. Maybe they need a bit of prodding. Okay, brother, what do you think about this? It's the chairman's responsibility to draw out the discussion from the board, not to dominate, but to draw out and to bring it together. And to bring it to conclusion. The chairman must delegate. Maybe we come to a decision to get someone in to grade the driveway. Well, it's maybe without being said that the person in charge of maintenance does that. But it's important that the person who is responsible to do that understands that when I leave this meeting, I am responsible to do this. It's delegation. And some of that delegation is almost automatically done because of different roles, but I think it's still good if that person has charge, is charged with that responsibility, that he understands that that is his job. Maybe we want to research the new museum and in a nearby town. We need to have someone to do it. And so maybe we ask for volunteers. Maybe there's one or two of the board that would volunteer. And maybe if we don't get a volunteer, then maybe the chairman needs to assign someone to do that. And I would just give some encouragement that if the chairman asks for a volunteer, don't be afraid to do that. Don't be afraid to volunteer. Sometimes maybe we're afraid to volunteer because it looks like we don't want to look like we're too eager to be involved. But let's serve as a living sacrifice, which this is our reasonable service, and we want to serve willingly. We want to take our place willingly. The chairman needs to see that the decisions that the board makes are conveyed to the teachers. You know, it's one thing to have a board meeting and discuss this at length and come to a conclusion, but you know, the next step is to take it to the teachers. If we don't do that, then we're missing a vital link. And so, in some cases, there may be a principal who is present when that decision is made, and he can take it to the teachers, and that probably has its place. That does have its place in many decisions and many things that are discussed, and we'll hear more about the role of the principal. However, even when there is a principal, I think there may be times when it's more appropriate, especially when the matter relates to maybe weakness of the classroom or the teacher, and maybe even an ongoing one. I think it's appropriate for the chairman to go to school and convey this to the teachers. I think in many, many cases, it's appropriate for the chairman to do that, to directly relate the decisions to the teachers and say, this is, as a board, we've asked that we discuss this, and we think that you should have your students ask permission before they get something in the classroom. Things are getting a little out of hand. You know, things that we observe that maybe are just sort of a degrading over time that maybe the teacher doesn't even think about. The board, it's healthy for the chairman to come and relate that. It's very important that these decisions and what's decided at a board meeting is conveyed through the board and not through the board's children. We don't share what's being discussed at a school board with our family. You know, if our family has an inside track to what's happening at school, then there's something wrong. We need to make sure that the communication happens in the right way. Another one of the chairman's responsibilities, and maybe some of you are thinking about that right now, is the times when we need a teacher. And this is a role that weighs quite heavily on the chairman because he realizes that if he doesn't find a teacher, it might be him that ends up in the classroom. And so the board chairman senses this quite heavily. And I appreciate those board chairmen that labor and labor and labor to find a teacher. Even though they get many no's, they still keep going. And I just want to encourage you in that. And the board and the minister, the rest of the board and the ministry all have a part to play in this. The board chairman doesn't decide who he's going to ask. The board and the ministry work together. They come up with names and approvals, and then the chairman simply does the asking. So don't think that you have to find the teacher. But together, the board has a responsibility in coming up with names and suggestions and, of course, approvals. But the chairman is responsible to spearhead that and to do the asking. Does the chairman vote? I think it's appropriate for the chairman to allow his vote to count, especially when there's a tie. That's why there's an odd number. It's one reason. He can break that tie by casting in his vote without saying anything. Sometimes I think it's awkward when there's a vote and there's a tie and the chairman didn't vote. I think it's appropriate, and you can correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I think it's appropriate for the chairman to break that tie and give his input in that. And I think as a chairman, we need to be careful that we're not dominating and that we don't rule the meeting, or that we really have sway. But finally, we do have a responsibility not to rule, but to moderate and to lead out in the work. Finally, the chairman is responsible to lead in the operation of the school. Finally, as they say, the buck stops here. And that's what happens. He's responsible. I shouldn't say that, because maybe the ministry have the final word, but I think you understand in the work of the school, finally the chairman is responsible, has a great responsibility in making sure that things happen in the right way. Now, we've talked a lot about the chairman, and simply because his responsibility is great. His responsibility is one to lead and to take the initiative. The second role, we've already mentioned, is the vice chairman. And he is the helper for the chairman. He is he shares the load of the chairman. He takes the extra. You know, where there's extra work, the chairman faces a heavy responsibility. Maybe he's not fixing, but he's working many times behind the scenes. Maybe some people could look on and say, well, the chairman, he doesn't really have to do much. But the chairman needs to be ready to share any extra responsibility, to delegate to the vice chairman. Chairman, don't be afraid to do that. We want to take our place. We want to take our responsibility, make sure we are, but there is only so much that we can do. And sometimes the work gets done better when we share that with others. And so don't be afraid to share that with your vice chairman. I think the vice chairman should sit next to the chairman in meetings so that they can discuss things together. Maybe the chairman has a question. Well, how do we proceed? You know, should we take a vote on this, or how should we address this? They can discuss a little bit, and it helps the chairman. The chairman's not alone. He has another brother to help him as an assistant through the difficult times. The vice chairman is the standby. Maybe sometimes the chairman can't make it to the meeting. The vice chairman is the one who takes his place. The vice chairman is the one who takes his place when he's late. If the chairman should be late and we want to start our meeting on time, it's appropriate for the vice chairman to begin the meeting. And I think it's good if boards have that understanding beforehand so that the chairman doesn't come, find the meeting in progress, and feel threatened. But if there's an understanding that should something arise, that the vice chairman is, maybe for lack of a better term, second in command, that we know what the roles are. Where there are matters to work through with teachers or parents, especially where there is a 5-member board, it is probably inappropriate for the whole school board to show up. You know, if you have an issue and 5 board members and 1 or 2 of the ministry come, it becomes a little overwhelming. And so, just from a practical standpoint, it's appropriate for the chairman and the vice chairman and maybe one of the ministry, or maybe two. It makes a well-rounded delegation from the board and the ministry. I think that's important. The board chairman, or the board actually may delegate some responsibilities to the vice chairman. Probably, if I may say, the vice chairman has probably the lightest ongoing load, usually. And so it's appropriate for him to have some responsibilities like making lists, devotional lists, or cleaning lists, or whatever, however you do that. It's a way that he can help share the load. And there may be, in your scenario, there may be other responsibilities and other things that you combine with this, and maybe you don't even have a vice chairman. The principles are there. You can combine roles however it works for your congregation. The chairman should work closely with the vice chairman on issues that the board may not necessarily all need to get involved in, simply because of logistics. So it's practical for the chairman to be able to pick up the phone and call the vice chairman and discuss something that he doesn't need to, you know, bounce something off of him, and then, as needed, go further. The third one I'd like to look at is the third role is the secretary. The secretary is an important part of the school as well, because the secretary keeps the minutes of the meetings. He keeps record of what's happening. And so it's important that the secretary is there on time so that he gets the beginning. He listens, but he also contributes, but he listens to the discussion and summarizes it in a way that we can go back in 6 months or 2 years and say, this is what we discussed and this is what we decided. And that's a challenge. And it's a challenge not to get our own idea and our own, this is the way we think we'd like it to be decided, or to allow our personal input in this. It's important to get the group, what the group actually was saying, not personally, but what the group was saying. And God bless each secretary who endeavors to do that. Understand what is being discussed and decided and recording it in a way that it makes sense. We all know what it means right now when we write it. But do we know what that means in 6 months or a few years from now? We go back. And some of those things are a little bit unclear, the details, and we have to piece it together. And so it's we need to have clear, it's good to have clear minutes. Remember that even though today you could just have a few scanty details to record what you're trying to record, we need more than that. And I think we can all identify with the fact of the rewarding part of we're talking about something in a school board meeting and we say, well, didn't we talk about this, you know, back there in last year sometime? And the secretary goes back through his minutes and he finds it and he reads it off and that's settled. And we can just go home earlier that night because it just saves a lot of rehashing. And so we value a good secretary that can do that. If our school has a newsletter, he may be involved in putting that together. And depending on the arrangement, he may double as the treasurer as well. The next role that I'd like to look at is someone who is in charge of supplies. And I'm basically listing these as we are used to in our school. And you might have this broken down differently, but this is simply my frame of reference, and you can adapt it to however it works for you. But in order to keep our school running, we need supplies, don't we? We need pens and paper, and we need cleaning supplies. And again, this depends on your arrangement. Maybe your school is in your church, and maybe some of that is combined. We need textbooks and workbooks, and this again varies by school. May I say that most times, the teachers and the principal knows best what we need in the line of that books and workbooks and textbooks. But I think it's a good idea for the board to be involved and to have touch of what's happening there. And however you do that, maybe you do that in different ways, but there's a board member. It's appropriate for a board member to be in charge of anything that's purchased, the purchaser for the school, to make sure that the supplies are there at the beginning of the year for the teachers to start the year off. And teachers like to go shopping, and I think it's good to have board member involved with that. Keep in touch. Make sure there are paper towels and bathroom tissue and soap in the supply room at all times. And when making purchases for the playground or wherever else, consider, does this contribute to the goals of the school? And I'd like to suggest that even the symbols on the soccer balls contribute or hamper our goals. The next one is maintenance. We all know that buildings, schools, any building needs maintenance. Again, be in touch. Know what's happening. Know that there's a loose knob there so that we can do some preventative maintenance before it falls off and there's a crisis situation and the teacher ends up fixing it. Let's try to be proactive. Keeping the playground equipment safe is a priority. Again, preventative maintenance. And when decisions are made on improvements, let's get it done. I know what it's like when we have our own busy schedules, we have our own things at home to fix, and then there's this list at school. Let's try to get it done. Then we have a treasurer, however that is. Sometimes that's combined with the secretary. Sometimes the deacon handles that. But someone is in charge of handling the money and paying the bills and paying the teachers and whatever else that involves. Beyond that, some schools may have other committees. They may have a curriculum committee that is directly involved in planning the curriculum. They may have, our school has a stormy day committee that decides when we're going to have school and when we're not. Some of that is delegation. Some of these committees might include others who are not on the board as well. All of these roles are an effort to spread the load and utilize the greatest potential with our resources. In order for a smooth operation, we must take our responsibility seriously, whatever it is, whether it's the chairman or whether it's the secretary or the treasurer or the vice chairman or in charge of maintenance or in charge of supplies, whatever it is. Let's take our responsibility seriously. In the third place, I'd like to think just briefly about alloys in relation to all of what we said. An alloy is a material made up of a metal and at least one other element. Most alloys contain a large amount of the main metal or base metal and smaller amounts of other elements. The school board is composed of the main element, which is God working in us, we being living sacrifices, and more than one human element. Different roles, different responsibilities, different elements. But we're formed together to form an alloy. Many pure metals are too soft, or rust too easily, or have other disadvantages. But these can be overcome if the metals are combined with other elements, three or four or more. Different substances may be present in a single alloy. And you know, as a school board on our own, we have flat spots, we have weaknesses, and many other disadvantages that prevent us from being strong and usable. But as we blend together with God, the result is something that's strong and usable in God's hands. There are different alloys, two different types of alloys. A polyphase alloy is made of different types of grains mixed together. In these alloys, the atoms bond together to form strong, stable compounds. And there are boundaries between each of these atoms, but they form together to make strong, stable compounds. And as a school board, we combine our differences to work together toward the same goal. Most alloys are stronger and harder than pure metals from which they are made. Most alloys, not all of them, but most of them, are more difficult to hammer into shape, roll into sheets, or draw into wires because they're harder and they're stronger. And as laborers together with God and with our fellow brethren and our different roles, we possess a strength that we would not have alone that becomes difficult to sway from the goal that is set before us. We have a goal, and on our own we might stray, we might falter, we might waver, but together as an alloy, we form a strong metal. We form a strong bond that is able to stay on course with God's help. May God bless each of you as you serve in your capacity.
For more free resources that support teaching and learning, visit thedocforlearning.org.